This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. I'm so happy today to have as my guest Mike Bickle, the founder of the International House of Prayer, Kansas City. He's been my guest many times, and he was in the office, so I talked him into coming to the studio, and we're going to find out his perspective and what's happening spiritually with all of the, I'm going to call it nonsense, that seems to be happening in the world today. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Well, Mike, thank you for fitting me in. We always look forward to your visits, and I know we've had a busy day here, and I just wanted to get you to share some of the things that you were actually sharing with the staff earlier on what you see happening. You know, we were talking about, you know, what's going on with artificial intelligence and China and persecution and the counterculture and how it seems that not only conservatives but Christians are being canceled. So, you know, it seems like everyone's got an opinion. A lot of people's opinion is they just don't know. So what do you think spiritually? What do you see happening?
Well, first, I love doing these podcasts with you. And so you did have to talk me into it, but when you said it, I was excited, just so you know. I really appreciate the voice the Lord has given you in our nation, actually for 40 years, not just by these podcasts, just the way that you
40 years ago, we didn't have podcasts.
Yeah, well,
we didn't have the internet.
But we had Charisma Magazine. It was the largest Christian magazine in the world, actually. I remember.
Well,
it was.
Depends on how you count it, but go ahead.
Okay, there you go. But anyway, I'm encouraged. I'm alerted by the increased trouble and chaos and confusion, but I'm encouraged because I'm positive all of this is going to play into the Lord's bigger hand. He is going to overrule all this for good. He's going to, right now, the body of Christ is wobbly. They're not sure, but in a little bit of time, I believe we're working our spiritual muscles. Go fast forward 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, whatever. I believe there will be a strength and a clarity in the body of Christ that's going to come out of this hour, because a lot of folks thinking they were going to wait it out and it would just kind of pass and be old news, like a news cycle. Give it 12 or 18 months and we'll be back to normal. And now they're concluding, this is not going back to normal. And they're talking to the Lord. I'm talking about pastors now going, wait, it's not going back. I don't mean COVID back to normal. I just mean the culture. Wait a second. Then those old messages in the 80s and 90s aren't working right now. I've got to figure out how to get our people with confidence and boldness and clarity what's happening. So I think it's going to take root. The voice, the Lord's voice of his word in the mouth of pastors and pulpits, and then the mouth of people just in conversations all over the body of Christ. But right now there's too much silence in the pulpits, but I don't think that's going to last that long.
Well, that's encouraging. And I've made that same kind of statement, that we believe that all things work together for good. And if that happens, that is good. But really, what's happening goes back a lot more than 40 years. In some ways, it goes back to Darwin, when science sort of said that God was not responsible for everything. And then, of course, some very difficult times since then. And really, the progressivism that we're dealing with, you can go back to Woodrow Wilson and the society. Can you imagine in the 20s? I mean, you and I weren't alive, but I saw a documentary just a few days ago. You know, here women always wore long skirts. Women were kind of behind the scenes at home and all that kind of stuff. Well, suddenly women wore short skirts, short hair. They were smoking cigarettes. Remember the flappers?
Uh-huh.
Church was not part of that at all. And whereas before, people went to church much more. And then things got a little more conservative around World War II, which was a horrible time in history. In the 60s, in some way, arguably, things were as bad as they are now. So we've had, and the culture has been going against Christianity. You know, we tend to think, or at least I tend to think, that TV shows in the 50s were kind of innocent compared to what you see today. But in the 50s, did they ever talk about God's word or what God said about a situation? Were the little situations solved by prayer? Of course not. It was a very, very secular, oh, people are kind of nice and everything works out. And I think the church has been kind of going along with this and accommodating the world more and more and more. But now it seems to be happening at warp speed. And instead of being sort of under the surface, it's out in the open and in your face. And in some places, like Canada, codified into law. And I just think a lot of people have been kind of either asleep or lulled to sleep or tend to forget. You know, a lot of us aren't very aware of what things were like before we were born.
Yeah, I think that the 60s, I remember the 60s, and, you know, in the culture, immorality and drugs was exploding, but it wasn't in the mouth of the broadcasters and the media. They were showing it, but not saying, isn't this amazing? And they were not arguing for it. They were most reporting on the fact it's happening. But now so much of the media is aggressively against the Word of God, not just reporting on people who are aggressive. They are aggressive. That's the new thing that I'm seeing.
Right. And we could get into a long discussion, of course, because I've written some books on this. I think a lot of it is the leftist agenda is socialist, which is one step away from communist,
right,
which is always against God. It's atheistic.
No question.
And within communism, you have, you know, in Russia was Pravda and had a media, and our media isn't really run by the government, but they are kind of go along with this mindset. And of course, they're against God's word. And you're right. It's just aggressive. And I'm very, very concerned. That's why I wrote this book and with the subtitle, Stand Strong Before It's Too Late. I don't believe it's too late, but, and of course we believe, do you remember Bob Mumford? He
totally
said, I read the end of the book and we win.
We win, yeah. He was famous for that statement.
And so we have to believe that's true, but boy, that, you know, you can believe that theoretically, but then you hardly know how to get through the day. You hardly know what to make of what you see on the TV or read online. So talk to me about spiritually. I have occasion to pontificate on some of these historical trends that I was mentioning. Suffice it to say, this has been going on a long time. People are people. Sin is sin. You know, America has never really been righteous. It's just been based, we had Judeo-Christian principles, but even the pilgrims, when they came over, 102 of them, about half of them were very, very pious separatists. The other half were people that the bankrolled the colony sent over because they needed carpenters and blacksmiths and so forth. The pilgrims called themselves saints and called themselves sinners. And it was about 50-50. And when I heard that, I thought, that's what it is now. It's about 50-50. So this tension has been going on in our country for a long time.
I'm going to tell you, you're a better historian than me. I'm an amateur historian. I love history, but you're pretty good at it. But I'm going to tell you something maybe you haven't heard. I heard an educator, like a PhD in education, at a homeschooling conference 30 years ago said this. I didn't ever fact check it, so I don't know if it's true. He said, what do you think the most significant, horrible decision was ever made in America's history? Of course, the whole room, what? He said, I'll tell you what it is. And we were all like, drama, he quiet. He says, it's 1805 in Harvard University. They made the declaration that man is basically good. He goes, that one sentence set the entire trajectory of the educational system, not calling men to redemption, but men to better themselves. And he said that one decision,
wow,
shifted history and and then he said the classroom is the pulpit of the culture, is the classroom. And they were trying to get men to improve themselves instead of men to call out for a redeemer and a savior because of that basic premise. And I thought, wow, I don't even know if that's true, but he was so adamant about it. And he goes, the most significant decision in America's history, one of them clearly was that decision, because it got codified, or I don't know if that's the right word, that's the word you used a minute ago, but I don't know if I'm applying it right, into the public school system across America.
Well, I think the point that there are sometimes very small pivotal things,
but that's amazing, isn't it?
Long ramifications, you know, like even with all the Supreme Court decisions. It was in the late 1940s, there was a famous decision which meant gave the right of privacy, which does not exist in the Constitution, but because it became a precedent, there were other things based on the right of privacy that has happened since then. You can kind of trace it back to a pivotal moment. Now, we know that God's word does not depend on politics or governments, certainly not on the United States. And you're a student of end times like nobody I've ever known. In the Bible, it's described mostly in Daniel and Revelation in very, very, very different times in history. And sometimes it's hard to understand how it would be played out. For example, what we call the mark of the beast. You know, even in our lifetime, it was kind of hard to understand how people would be stupid enough to get a number tattooed on their forehead.
No, in the 70s, the Mark of the Beast was the MasterCard, remember? Remember that?
That's right.
Everybody was talking about in the mid-70s, the rapture's coming any minute, and the Mark of the Beast is the MasterCard. Something like that. I could have the dates wrong.
But now with these little chips and with them canceling people's ability to even do commerce, now it's relatively few instances, but it is happening. Even where some of these big corporations that, shall we say, they're woke, or at least they tend in that direction, are actually canceling the accounts of certain ministries because the ministries do something they don't approve of. Often it's their stand on pro-life or something like that. In some cases, it's because they donate to ministries that these people don't agree with, and they take away the right to... Well, I know of people whose bank accounts have been canceled over that. So suddenly we see maybe they could make it where you couldn't buy or sell like the Bible says. What do you think?
I think that's absolutely going to happen. But at the end of the day, God has an answer. It's like I was talking to some folks and they were saying, oh my gosh, because they were talking about the tribulation times. And they were thinking, this is going to be so horrible. I go, the average person, when I press them, I was talking to some moms about their children, and they go, I'm so afraid that the tribulation might happen in my lifetime. I go, why? What are you afraid of? And they go, well, you know. And I go, no, like what? They go, what do you mean, like what? I go, you're afraid you and your kids are going to be trapped in a cave and starve to death because there's no way to buy money. Yeah, I go, that's in the Bible. I said, you realize that when the Lord returns, there's 1 billion believers, a harvest in all the nations, and they're not all starved to death. They're eating somehow. Though they can't buy and sell the market, something is going to happen. They're alive, 1 billion of them. And they're not all, you know, 62 pounds. I go, how did that happen? They didn't all die. They didn't all live in a cave. The church is brought to maturity, so they're not all huddling in fear. And they're not all starving. How did that happen? Well, I don't know. Maybe people stored up food in farms. I go, I think there's bigger surprising answers. When God told Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, nobody could have imagined water would flow out of a rock and food would come from heaven every day, from sky. Inconceivable that that could happen. I mean, what were they thinking when Moses led them out? I mean, talking about the 600,000 men, which say 2 to 3 million total. Moms were there going, hey, go ask Moses how we're going to like drink in about 3 days. I don't care. I mean, that was a big issue. I mean, think about it. They're going into the wilderness, into a desert. And then one of the major miracles in the Gospels, it happened on several occasions where Jesus fed the 4,000, then he fed the 5,000. That's one of the most emphasized miracles of Jesus, meaning he only raised Lazarus from the dead and a few others, but he multiplied food as much as he did that, meaning there just might be a surprise that we don't know about. The Lord say, hey, guys, trust me, I got this one. You're not starving to death. Undoubtedly, some people will be hungry, but many, 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 God will be there healing them, directing them, providing for them. And I think what's happening in China right now with the social credit scores is a harbinger of what's coming in a negative way. And most of your audience probably is aware of this a little bit. It's been on the internet for 4 or 5 years, but there's a ton on the internet. The social credit score is that they're using AI, and they have, I mean, I studied the numbers 2 or 3 years ago, so I'm a little off on the numbers, so don't fact check me because I could say it wrong. But I remember one province had 600 million cameras, like every 50 yards. And when a person walked out of their house, walk down the street, they pick them up, and with AI, they could tabulate, I'm making up this, a trillion pieces of information a second. I just made up that number, by the way. And figure out who went where, who socialized with who, and they give them, I mean, this is actually a fact, credit scores. And if somebody bent over to pick up a piece of trash off the street, the camera caught them and they got credit for it. If somebody helped Saturday afternoon, Saturday morning in the park with children, they got a credit score for it. If people helped in any kind of ways, they got credit scores. If they didn't pay their bills on time, it was found out on the credit system and they got penalized. And so if the big heavy for in our world is they have hate crimes over there. And hate crimes, many are associated with standing for the gospel, would be called hate crimes because we're telling people that they're not all saved, they're not all good, they're doing wrong things. Like, who are you to tell us that? But anyway, and so they had have many, many stories on the internet of like a journalist was exposing this, and his credit score got so bad. I mean, he was a reputable journalist. He could not rent an apartment. His children could not go to a college. He could not get in at plane fare, and like 8 or 10 of these things. I mean, it's horrifying. And he was still on the you know internet talking. He goes, "My life is destroyed. I can't do anything because everyone has the system, and it's just beginning in China. I mean, millions are under this, but there's 1.3 billion, so it's not the vast majority. But they're growing so fast in this, and other nations are getting the technology. I mean, fast forward 10, 20, 30 years. I don't know, whatever." That system is going to be so many places, but God has answers. The body of Christ is still alive and healthy and growing spiritually with a vibrant heart. So this idea that if they can cancel us out, we must die in a cave somewhere, starvation, I don't buy that.
No, but we already have a small part of that. I mean, I get an email once a month from Google to remind me where I've been, and I didn't even ask Google. And it's like, yeah, I drove to Tampa, and yes, I did that. I mean, I didn't do anything wrong, of course, but what if they make a law that if you go to church?
Oh, in Russia, I mean, in China, if you go to a church, they know the 500 people who are in the building with you because they all, every 50 yards, got noticed too, their facial recognition. I mean, they could get 1,000 people in every one of those cameras every moment, but with artificial intelligence, they could process the information so fast. They knew everyone in the building, and the stories are incredible. I think it's going to get intense, but it's going to cause, I believe, a vibrant spirit in the church. Many people are going to determine to go all out for God, and God's going to surprise them by manifestations of power and miracles at a way beyond what we're thinking.
Well, that's encouraging, and of course, we could probably talk about this for hours. We don't have hours, and as we wrap this up, I want you to talk a little bit about Psalm chapter 2, where I believe that you have some real insight that is important for Christians to know.
Okay, I will get right to that and get to the key points to it. But first of all, I'm going to say this because it gives a context. There are over 150 chapters in the Bible of which the primary subject is the generation the Lord returns. That's a staggering number. I've just understood that number some years ago. I was shocked by it. I would have guessed there were 50. There's 150 chapters of which not the only subject, but the primary subject of the entire chapter is the generation the Lord returns. You know, any of the 10 or 20 negative trends or the 10 or 20 positive trends or a little bit of each or a few of them, whatever. Having said that, of all 150 chapters, I believe the chapter that is the clearest description of happening today is Psalm 2. And I've said this for some years, so it's a real thought through, meaning it's not just kind of a jerk knee kind of statement. Yes, it is the clearest description of what's happening, prophetic chapter of what's happening in this day, when Psalm 2 describes the time where the kings of the earth and the rulers of the culture unify together to drive the influence of the Word of God out of the culture. So the kings of the earth are the heads of state, you know, whether prime minister, chancellor, whatever you call them, president, the head of state, they have the power over legislative systems and they have power over military. And the rulers are not just small governors. They're the rulers of the culture, the media, the athletes, the academia, military, I mean, rock stars, whatever. There's many categories of the cultural influencers and thought. They influence thought in the culture. Well, the the rulers of the culture have the popular support and they got the money. Oh, yeah, the big economic leaders, they have money and the popular support. The heads of state have the legislative power to penalize those who are against them and the military at their disposal. Those two large, vast groups come together to drive the word of God out of the culture. But Psalm 2, without going into it, the Lord says, I got this. Watch and see what happens when they come together. And no time of history have the rulers and the heads of states come in this kind of unity. It's only the beginning right now. I mean, it's so much more dramatic than 10 years ago, but wait for 10 or 15 more years. But God says, I got this. Wait and see what I'm going to do. And, well, about 5 years ago, I wrote a book on it, maybe 200 pages, when I took every verse and all the ideas. And matter of fact, it was published through you, through Charisma. through the publishing.
I thought you'd never mention that.
Yeah, it was published through you. Matter of fact, you're the one that, because we talked about it, and you said, why don't you write a book on it? I go, yeah, I never thought about actually putting it all in print. And we worked hard on it for some months, taking Psalm 2 line by line, phrase by phrase, because at a quick read, you won't see how significant it is, because the rulers and the heads of state, the kings, here's how they describe the word of God. And here's the part you might miss in verse 3 that said, let's break God's bonds off of us and cast his cords away. That is one of the most negative descriptions of the word of God in the Bible. They see the Bible as bonds and cords that enslave the human race to old archaic morals, biblical morals. And they're saying, let's break off the old archaic biblical values off the culture so we can enter into the full potential of humanity and sexuality, all kinds of avenues of spirituality, all kinds of thought processes, philosophies. Let's get free and get liberated. And so the rulers of the culture and the heads of state are working together at one time frame of history to drive the influence out of the word of God, out of the culture, and to call it bondage. And in the last 5 years, it has escalated so much, but it's still the beginning of the escalation. But God, you read the rest of the psalm, he says, I got this. Wait and see the power I'm going to manifest in the midst of my people. So though I'm alerted by this escalation of trouble and this rhetoric in the culture, the council culture, I am so sure the church will be victorious.
Well, that is encouraging, and I just am glad, I'm honored to be able to publish that book, of course, and you have
such... It's called God's Answer in the Growing Crisis, because the crisis is growing, but God's answer is absolutely clear.
And so people can go to Amazon.com to get that, or you can come to our own website, and you can buy all of our books there if you're interested in that. You can also check out International House of Prayer, Kansas City, online, which is the short way to say it.
It's just ihopkc.org.
I gave you the long way. And they have a wonderful app where your House of Prayer, which is goes on 24/7, now for 22 years without stopping, which is incredible.
Yeah, the worship music has not stopped 1 minute in 22 years. Every prayer meeting is led by a worship team, and every 2 hours we have a new worship team come on, and they overlap for about 3 to 5 minutes, and so it's never even stopped by the grace of God for even a minute in 22 years, the worship music.
And it's an app, and you can participate. I do that many, many days. I did it just yesterday, and there's different kinds of music during the day, and then sometimes you have some more like services, I guess, maybe more on the weekends. And it's just very, very encouraging. I'd encourage you to check that out if you haven't done that. And I want to thank my longtime friend, Mike Bickle. We were talking how young we were when we first got to be friends. And
it was over 30 years 30 ago.
30 years ago.
You were younger back then.
Yeah, so are you.
Okay.
So I just want to remember that.
Hey, I want to say one more thing about your book. It's God and the Cancel Culture. I think it is. You are on the line laying out information that when people see it, they go, wow, and hey, take a stand, because everybody, not everybody, literally, thinks everyone else will do it, so that very few are actually saying it. And so we've got to get informed. This is growing, and we have to be bold. We have to be bold witnesses to the word of God and what the Lord's saying. And the other guy that I just think the world of is Jonathan Cahn, that you've published a bunch of his books. And if people have not tracked with him, because you might harbinger, what's that mean? You know, what's oracle mean? What's paradigm mean? Some of his titles, when I looked at him, I don't know. And I looked a little bit deeper and like, oh my goodness, it is such clear, direct stuff. And I appreciate you guys taking that on and publishing it. And I just appreciate that guy.
Well, thank you. I feel, of course, the same way. And we're recording this in February of 2022. People will be listening to it a long time later. And I'll just tell people that a documentary has been made of Harbinger 2. It has a different title. We'll be announcing it. It'll be releasing in May. And then Jonathan Cahn's next book, which is maybe his most explosive ever.
No way. No, not another one. What? What's it going to be?
Well, it's embargoed right now. I mean, it's that explosive. And
it'll be
coming out in the autumn. And it's just...
He has a plethora of data that's real and puts it together in ways that normal people would never put together. I mean, I'm a little bit of a historian. I think, I had no idea this and this and this and this happened. It's remarkable.
It really is. And I've had occasion, of course, to talk to him and say, how do you find this out? I mean, you know, Henry Hudson found Hudson River, named after him, which was the founding of New York City, on September 11th.
He's got about five of those
days. Oh, and the groundwork for the Pentagon was on September 11th, 41, which...
In 1941.
1941, which was 60 years to the day. And, I mean, those are just the ones I could remember, you know?
You know, and another guy, since I'm gushing over guys, is Michael Brown. He is taking on the issues in the culture with such precision, but with tenderness and clarity, with biblical background. And I think of books like your God of the Council Culture, Michael Brown stuff, Jonathan Cahn stuff. It's equipping the body of Christ. Larry Tomczak's got some brilliant stuff talking about the issues in a way we can take it and run with it. Franklin Graham, too. That's another one. I mean, the list could go on and on. But these men are out there on the front at the point of the arrow defining the issues and standing with tenderness but courage. And I'm just so grateful for those guys.
Amen. I am too. And I didn't expect you to share that, but I'm glad you did. And I'll thank my listeners for tuning in to the Strang Report. I think this week we're going to pass 14 million downloads. I've been watching it day by day. I had almost 1 million last month, and I thank you for sharing it and for giving us a good review on iTunes and subscribing and all the stuff you're supposed to do. So thank you very much. It's not what I've been doing. It's just somehow it's caught on, and I want to thank you for the part that you play in getting out the word. And tune in again tomorrow for another episode of The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com.